Good morning, everybody. It's really amazing to see so many people here on Yisroel. Do you, everybody have seats? There are a few more available in the back. Okay. So I'll tell you, I want to begin by quickly repeating something that I said to Shana Rabba at night, because that really brought me to this shiur. The shiur today is on the Haftorah of Parshat Bereishit. The Haftorah of Parshat Bereishit, I believe, is not merely a Haftorah that is limited to the Parsha itself. I believe that it is an introduction to all of the Haftorot of the year. The pattern is being set in this first Haftorah. The Haftorah is from Yeshayahu. And I'm really in an ongoing relationship of love for Yeshayahu, but there are a number of things that brought me to an even greater love of Yeshayahu, and I want to begin with the story. I may have said it some many years ago, but I'm going to say it again. How do you like that, you know? I'm going to say it again. March 26, 1979, the Israel-Egypt peace treaty was signed on the lawn of the White House in Washington, D.C. Since at the time I was president of the Council of Young Israel Rabbis of All America and Canada, I was invited to be present at this ceremony on the White House lawn. Of course, being both a loyal citizen of the United States of America and, of course, a lover of Eretz Yisrael and Medinat Yisrael, I made sure that I was there that morning. I got onto the Eastern Airlines shuttle from New York, got into Washington, D.C., made my way to the White House lawn. And then, a large number of world dignitaries, and I, of course, was one of the dignitaries. All right? There were three speakers. The three Machatunim were the speakers. The first speaker was Jimmy Carter, President Jimmy Carter. The second speaker was Anwar Sadat. And the third one was Menachem Begin Olamai Shalom. When Carter comes to the end of his speech, in his distinct southern drawl, he quotes the prophet Isaiah. You have it on the second side, top, Yeshayahu chapter 2, and where it's underlined, the same as Pesukim. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, and they will no longer study warfare. V'chitutu charvotam le'itim v'chanitot e'em l'mazmirot, lo yisog goy al goy chet v'lo yilvedu ol od l'chama. What a dramatic and beautiful way to end his address. The second speaker was Anwar Sadat, and when he came to the end of his speech, in his very distinct Egyptian English, he said, as the prophet Isaiah says, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, and they will no longer study warfare. Third speaker is Menachem Begin, Prime Minister of the State of Israel. He comes toward the end of his speech, and I'm getting all nervous, because he takes his kippah out of his pocket and puts it on his head, which means that he is going to quote a pasuk. And I say that for a few seconds there was a thought that went through my mind, for which I've been doing juvenile for 33 years, since 1979. He puts on his kippah and he says, and I can't remember, I think he quoted the pasuk both in Hebrew and English. It was the prophet Isaiah said it. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, and they shall no longer study warfare. And I was thinking twice, just for a few brief seconds, I was thinking to myself, come on, begging. You're an extemporaneous speaker. Couldn't you come up with something different at least? Then I decided that I knew exactly what was going through Begin's mind. He had heard Kona. He heard Saddam. You know what's going through his mind? Awesome. He was thinking to himself, this Southern Baptist Christian, Kona, with all the president's speechwriters and all their googling schmoogling, they must have gone through all of literature to find something that will express man's desire for peace. Yes. They couldn't find anything that comes close to a pasuk in Yeshayahu. Anwar Sadat, with all of his imams and all of his speechwriters, went through 1,000 years of fatwas, the Quran from top to bottom. Very poor Sadat. His speechwriters could not come up with anything that more powerfully expresses man's desire for peace than a pasuk in Yeshayahu. Menachem Begin is thinking to himself, a kapur of that is been a miracle. I'm a grandchild of Yeshayahu. I'm the one who should be quoting him. And he said it. And I thought to myself, that man has great Jewish pride. But isn't it interesting? We are the only country in the world that is accused of being an obstacle to peace in the whole world. We are accused of causing strife, warfare, hostilities. We're accused of terrorism. We gave the world the idea of peace. We're the authors, we're the creators. But it's a strange world we live in. But Yeshayahu expressed it very well. Incidentally, of course, if you've ever been in New York, it's been a long time. In front, near the United Nations, there's a wall that's called the Isaiah Wall. And what pasuk do you think they had engraved on the Isaiah Wall? And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, etc. Yeshayahu gave the world something else. And that we read in the Haftorah of Yom Kippur. Most probably the most powerful expression of the relationship of man to a fellow man that was ever written. Wasn't that Haftorah? That's the second thing on that side. You see where it's underlined? These are awesome sukkim. Yeshayahu says that the people are asking, why do we pray and we are not answered? Why do we fast and we don't hear a reply from God? So the Navi says, what do you think a fast day is? Bending your head like a reed? Fasting? There's a lot more to a fast. You know what the fast day has to represent? Harozet Som et Chodehu. This is the fast I choose. Pateach karsuvo derecha, haper agudot motam, v'shalach v'tzutzim chofshim v'chol motaf nateku, to break open the shackles of wickedness, to undo the bands of injustice, to let the oppressed go free, and annul all perversion. What a tremendous pasuk! Freedom for all men on the face of this earth. This is what God wants. And go further. Hello, Paros L'Ra'eg L'Achmecha. You should break your bread in half and give it to the hungry. Hello, Paros L'Ra'eg L'Achmecha. Vanim Rudim Tavim Bayit. And bring the moaning poor into your home. When you see a naked person, clothe him, and do not hide yourself from your family. You have to take care of them too. These are awesome psukim. Oz, if this is the way you're going to relate to the enslaved, to the shackled, the bound, the hungry, the thirsty, the naked, this is how you're going to relate to your family. Your light is going to burst out like the dawn. And healing will come quickly. Your charity will go before you and the glory of Hashem will gather you in. Oz tikra, then if you're going to cry out to God, Hashem Yahneh, God is going to answer. Tishaveya v'yomad hineni. You will cry out, and you know how God is going to respond? In the way in which the great of our people responded to God. Hineni. God is going to say to the Jewish people, hineni, here I am. In tosir yitalchom mota, if you remove from your midst perversion, shlach etzba, the daber ovan, you will remove finger pointing and evil speech. This is one of the greatest expressions of man's obligation, sacred obligation to fellow man. So it's not only man's desire for peace, but the way in which man is going to achieve peace by a relationship of care and concern with fellow human beings. I had mentioned this Kol Nidre night, and here I have to say I got choked up. Two and a half weeks ago, on a Friday, a number of Israeli soldiers went to give water to thirsty migrants in the Sinai Desert. And terrorists opened fire and killed a 20-year-old soldier, Netanel Halachmi. Yahalomi. Hashem in Kondalo. Do you know what we saw in that burst of fire? The culture of life and the culture of death. The culture of Yeshayahu to give water to the thirsty. And a culture that glorifies death. Culture of life and culture of jihad. Yeshayahu expressed it. Yeshayahu and all the other of you. Also, by the way, my Bar Tfilah and Yom Kippur, for years since I retired from Har Nof, Rabbi in Har Nof, I've been the rabbi of the Ramada for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. I think I have one of the biggest congregations in this city. The Baal Tfil, the Baal Musaf, Alec Holtz, lives across the street from the Yahalomi family. And he says, we clear you Shabbos, after that Shabbos, the committee of four representing different branches of government, knocked on the door to bring the terrible news. The father, Shmuel, opened the door and he looked at them. He knew already what was coming. And they told him that his son had fallen at the Egyptian border. And he looked them straight in the eyes. He taught Kriya and he said, Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Dayan HaEmet. What great strength that takes. That's the culture of life, the culture of peace. And we are pitted against a religion and a people who glorified it. Yeshayahu gave greatest expression to the relationship that must exist between man and fellow man. Now we come to the Haftarah of Parsha Pesach. And a number of years ago we learned all of the Haftarahs, and I don't really plan on doing Haftarahs this year. From time to time, as the mood comes over me, but here in this Haftarah also, we're going to find something that is true in all Haftarahs. People usually learn the Haftarah, and they see, you know, it says this in the Haftarah, and it says that in the Sedra. That's it. Connection. We know why the rabbis chose it. It's never that way. It's always more profound. There's a great deal more than strikes you superficially. And we prove it in this first Haftarah, which, as I say, sets the pattern for all of them. Persevelation is Shabbos. Yeshayahu. Ko'amai Hakel Hashem. So says God Hashem. Borei HaShamayim Minoteu, who creates the heavens and stretches them forth. Roka Ha'oretz Vitsa Elsa Eva. Spreads out the earth and what grows from it. Noteni Shamar La'amalea, gives a soul to the people upon it. V'ruach L'chol Chinba, and a spirit to those who walk in it. That's it. It would seem this is it. This is wonderful. The parsha is talking about the creation of heaven and earth and the creation of man. That's the parsha. And right here in the Haftarah, it's all summed up in one passage. God created heaven, earth, gave life to man. It's only the beginning. It's only the beginning. We'll read and I'll comment. Ani Hashem kiraticha v'tzedek v'ach Zeik biyadecha ve'etzercha ve'etemcha lebinit am le'orgayim. And then with this pasuk I can tell you what's going to take place in this Haftarah. And what's going to happen in this Haftarah? We're going to be told of God's profound love for his people. You know what it's also going to say in a number of psukim? God created the world, and he also created the Jewish people. There's not one creation. There's Shamayim Va'aretz, and there's Am Yisrael. And we see a number of psukim that describe this unique creation, which is called Am Yisrael. And he says, Ani Hashem, Kiraticha B'tzedek. I am Hashem, in righteousness I have called unto you. You know what it means? In righteousness I've called unto you. Because of your righteousness, because you've learned from Yeshayahu how to deal with fellow man, because you celebrate life and not death, I have called unto you. It's so beautiful. And I hold your hand. The Rebbeinu is holding our hand. And then he's going to say even more clearly later, he loves us. He's going to take care of us. There will be moments in history at which he will be angry with us, but he's going to make it all up to us because the love of God for the Jewish people is undying. I'm going to hold you near. That Zohar, I'm going to form you, and I will protect you. I will protect you. Oh boy, do we need that protection now. Then pen chalubrit am lorgonim, I will make a covenant with you, and you're going to be a light unto the nations. You're going to teach the nations the meaning of peace, and you're going to teach the nations of the world the meaning of the relationship between men and fellow men. That's right. Begging is the one who's supposed to say, they shall beat their swords into plowshares. You're not going to steal that from us, you Baptist Southern Christian peanut farmer and Christianity. Okay? Nor you Muslim who attacked us. Okay? And you know what the point of it all is? And this is very significant. Lishkorach einayim yifrot. To open up eyes that are blind. Lahotzi mi mazgir asir. This sounds just like the Yeshayahu of Yom Kippur. To take the one who is a prisoner, to remove him from confinement. Lahotzi mi mazgir asir. We bake keller. From prison, Yoshvei Kosher, those who dwell in darkness. Now it's meant literally and figuratively that God is going to take Jews who are in prison in different places of the world, and by imprisoned doesn't have to be a prison. They go caught in a Russian jury. I'm going to open up the gates. 2, 4, 6, 8, open up
the Iron Gate.
I see you must probably also joined us on Solidarity Sunday for many years in New York marching for 70th Jewry. 2, 4, 6, that's what the Bajan is saying over here. I'm going to open up. And when God moved Jews out of the DP camps there for the Second World War, out of the darkness. But it's more than that. The Tardut, the culture of Torah and Klal Yisrael, that's going to be the light of the nations. Let's go.
Rabbi,
yes?
This does not apply to Goyim, not only Jews. The last thing, to open up the...
opening up the eyes?
Wait. As prison and dwellers in darkness, not Goyim.
Good. But there are going to be, I think, another 2 or 3 sukkah where he talks about the blind being able to see. And at one point, it's definitely going to refer to the nations of the world that they will see what the relationship between God and the Jewish people is. They're going to learn what God truly is. They're going to learn the message of the Torah. We're absolutely right. The blind. First we begin with the Jews. First we need Jews to be able to see the light. And then the rest of the world will come later. The next section, the Navi is going to make an extremely important comment, and this is necessary to an understanding of all that Torah. God says, listen, I predicted all sorts of things in the past. You can trust me already. I have a track record. I told you I'm going to bring you down to Mitzrayim and I'm going to take you out. I did it. And in the times of Roshet Yishayahu, it's talking about the great threat to Yerushalayim. Sancheret, king of Ashur, has conquered all of Eretz Yisrael. And now he's encamped around Yerushalayim for the final thrust. And the night before, the angel of death comes down and destroys the camp of Sancheret. Yeshayahu had said it was going to happen. God says, listen, I have a good track record. Listen to what I say, and it has been fulfilled. Now I'm going to tell you new things that are going to happen. And you can trust me that it's going to happen. What we're going to decide over here is, because we're at an advanced stage in history, what Yeshayahu prophesied here, we have already seen. And you know what? Even though we have already seen it, it doesn't mean that people walking the streets of Yerushalayim all necessarily see it. Watch. Come, we're going to move. It's too great over here, it's too cold. Harishonot Hinebao, the first things that I told you about have come already. The Chatashot HaMimagid, there are new things I'm telling you now. B'Teret Yitzmachna, before they will begin to blossom, I'm telling you about it now. Arshmiyatem, I'm going to let you hear it. And therefore, Shiru Hashem Shir Chadash, sing to God a new song, to give our toe his praise from the very ends of the earth. Your day, Payam Umalolo, those who go down to the sea, throughout the world, Ian the Oshvehem, islands, and those who live there. Yisbu Midbar Va'orav Chatzayin Teshev Kedo Yoron Yoshe Stella Midosh Vani Mitzvahu. He's describing people living in all sorts of, I was going to say God-forsaken places, but no, they're all going to be singing about God's great miracles, so it's not God-forsaken anymore. Those who live in the desert and its cities raise their voice. The open places where Kedar dwells, those are the Bedouins. Let those who dwell on bedrock sing out. From mountain summit, shout. Your seal of Shem cover, they're all going to give honor to God, Utilatoba Iyakidu. And they're going to tell us about those who live on the islands. They're going to tell us. There's an interesting Rashi over here. There's an interesting Rashi. I just find it's worthwhile to, if I tell you, something worthwhile to read. Yoishvei Iyin. Okay. Alright. Iyin. Yorei Hayom, Umbelo Om. He says that the first different places in the world where there's landfill, where they put land and they fill up areas where there was water. Shofkim afar, kol echo ve'echon, everybody pours out earth. What for? Can they buy it? So you should be able to build a house on it. V'hochim mibayit, lebayit, besfina. And they go from house to house with a boat to go near Venezia, right? Like the city of Venice. That's what he's referring to. By the way, there are a lot of other things Rashi knew most probably from having seen it. He learned for about 5-6 years in Worms, Vermeise, and we were there this summer, two blocks from Rashi's base message was the Rhine. And Rashi describes the Rhine in a number of his Pirushim in Talmud. I mean, Rashi, no. But I'm not going to tell you. My wife and I have our experience with Worms. We'll save that for another time. That was one of our great adventures, but you're not going to hear it today. This is just so you should. Rabbi Gold, please tell us. Let's go. Hi, come on. Let's go further. Hashem Kikiporge say, this is contemporary. And Mamin the Buddhist Lema that this is going to happen. The Navi Yeshayahu is telling us it's 2,500 years ago. He says that a moment is going to come in which God is going to go out like a mighty warrior in the defense of his people. Hashem, is going to go out like a mighty one, Yair Kina, his zealousness like a man of war, Yaria, Apyatseya, he's going to shout, even scream, like the battle cry, he's going out for the Jewish people. God is going to wax strong over his enemies. Listen to this next passage. I'm telling you, just God says, you know what? For a long time in history, I was silent. And it's too long. I'm not going to be silent anymore. Hecheshiti me olam haibon kept silent. Acharish, I've been quiet. As I talk, I control myself. But you know what's going to happen now? This threat against the Jewish people, I'm going to scream like a woman giving birth. Kayoleda efa, ashom ve'eshaf yachad. I'm going to breathe in, and I'm going to breathe out, like a person upset. In, out, moving. And there's going to be a scream that's going to bring punishment upon the enemies of Israel. Acharim orim ugvaot, I'm going to destroy mountains and hills. The whole Esbam, Ovish, and all of their grass will be dried to stunt in Harotliim. And I will turn rivers into islands because the water is going to disappear from the terrible fire that I will bring. V'akamim Ovish, and marshes I will dry up. And you know what I'm going to do? Here it is. V'halachti ivrim b'derech lo yadol. Here it's still definitely the Jewish people. I'm going to take the blind on a road that they never had known before. B'netivot lo yad'u, on paths that they didn't know. Avrichem, I'm going to lead them. Osin machshach lifneihem. Lahor, the darkness before them I will turn into light. Uma akashim l'mishor, and the crooked places will be straight. Ela hadvarim asidim, these things I have done them. It uses the past tense in order to tell us it's so clear that it's going to happen. It's a Zohar. This is the ingathering of Exiles. Kibbutz Goliath. There are going to be another few great psukim about Kibbutz Goliath. The Lord has asked him. They should know that I have not forsaken them. I have not forsaken them. There will be a number of them. Unbelievable. By the way, you have to have eyes that are open in order to see it. I left it at home, but you'll believe. I responded many years ago to an article that appeared in a religious magazine in which somebody, great thinker, wrote that, you know, people are making a mistake. And he gives a parable. The title of the article was a parable. The parable is about a man called Columbus. Now, this Columbus was looking for the way to India. And you know what happened? He came to Central America. And you know what? His whole life, he thought that he had discovered India. He says, you know, there are people who think that, well, there's a state in Eretz Yisrael, the state of Israel, and then in quotation marks, some kind of an ingathering of exiles. And they think this is a process of redemption. What a terrible mistake they are making. There will not be redemption until the time comes that no Jew will ever die in battle or from a terrorist attack. I read this. When it says, Mir geworden schwarz vor die Augen, it came black before the eyes. And I sent the letter. And they published it. Since then, I don't think they ever wanted to publish anything of mine. And I told them, what are you talking about? Some kind of an ingathering of exiles? I wonder what would happen if we would reread that article today. At the time it was written, there were about 3 million Jews in Eretz Yisrael, far more than they were here during Bayit Sheni. Far more! There are 6 million now. Is this just some kind of an ingathering of exiles? They're blind. They can't see what's happening. And there's a great man. Great men can also be blind. And then I told him something else. He says, how can it be the beginning of redemption when Jews are being killed? the term Atalta de Geula appears once in all of Talmud. And do you know where it appears? It appears in Masechet Megillah, Daf Yud Zayin Amid Bet. In what context? The Gemara says the order of the brachot in Shmoneh Esrei. The seventh bracha is the bracha of Geula. Why? Because redemption will come in a seventh year, a Shmita year. So the Gemara is, what are you talking about? There is a statement of our rabbis that says, in the seventh year of that cycle, there will be wars. And listen to what the Gemara says. Milchoma nami, war is also Atchalta de Geula. War is also the beginning of redemption. Is that completely in opposition to what our writer had written? War is also part of the process of the beginning of redemption. And it's the only place in all of Shas where the two words are Atchalta de Geula appear. But there are people who are blind. Who's sitting in the sukkah, and one of my Einikloch, says that he asked his friends in Yeshiva. I have talked about it many times. The Gemara at the end of the Sefer Markus, the famous Gemara, where Rabbi Akiva and Chachmei Yisrael are on Haratzofim, and they see a fox coming out of the Holy of Holies. They began to cry. He laughed. They asked, why are you crying? Why are you laughing? Why are we crying? Take a look, the holiest of holies, where only the Kohen Gadol went in on Yom Kippur, and now there are foxes coming out of there. We shouldn't cry. And he says, that's why I'm smiling. Because if the prophecy of destruction was so fulfilled, then I'm certain that the prophecy of Zechariah, where Zechariah says they will yet sit elderly men and women in the streets of Yerushalayim, children, boys and girls will play in the streets. I've been telling my angel and my students for years, if Rabbi Akiva would be here, Rabbi Akiva would say, look, it's fulfilled, take a look. Of course it's been fulfilled. That's a prophecy that's been fulfilled. We can walk out in the street at any minute and see a prophecy fulfilled. So he asked his friends, do you think this prophecy is fulfilled? What do you think most of them said? No. Why not? No, can't be. No, why can't it be? You know, Chilayim, Tzayim, Mizrachistan, this can't be the beginnings of redemption. They're no fulfillment of prophecies. You can be blind. Why should you be blind? They don't see. Yeshayahu knew it. God knew it. And therefore he says, I'm going to take the blind and I'm going to bring you back. Watch. Let's go further. We're moving. Let's go with the Pasuk 18, Yuchas. Hacher Shishmo. Those who can't hear, listen. We're not talking about people who physically can't hear. We're talking about people that don't get it. Those who don't get it, listen clearly. Bo'ivnim, the blind, habitul in oath. Look and see. Obviously, we're not talking about people who are blind and are incapable of seeing. You don't tell the blind, habitul in oath. Look and see. We're talking about people who are intellectually blind. Mi ver kim avdi. Amongst my servants there are those who are blind. The chayesh kemal achiyesh rach. That's some who can't hear like those. The Jewish people are the ones who are God's messengers in the world. Mi iver kim ishulam bi iver ke'edem asher. There are a number of questions. This is a difficult passage. Now, some would say that this is the way the people spoke about the servant of God who is the Nabi, the prophet. They didn't take him seriously. That's not what he's talking about. He says that's how to the Gula. was on the train, the United States of America. What a big mistake he made. All right, let's go further. Ra'ol prabod v'lodishma pakorach v'zayim v'lodishma. They see many things and they don't get it. Ears are open and they don't hear. Don't you understand that Hashem chafetz l'man tzidko, God wants for His people who live b'tzedek, He wants that they should be strong in the world, and Yagdil Torah v'yagdil, that Jewish people should bring Torah out there to the world. And one of the Jewish people now, Uhuam Hazuz Bishasui, Afer Pachodim Kolon, Rote Kolon Bo, Hodulavar Zay Matilish, so Bein Omer Hashem. He describes the Jewish people who are downtrodden, beaten, who are imprisoned, who suffer. It's a description of Jews in exile. But it is eluded, downtrodden people, all of them trapped in holes, hidden away in prisons. They are looted without rescuers, downtrodden with knowing, no one saying, give back to them what is theirs. Mi bechem, yazin zot v'yakshiv, v'yishmal achor. Mi natam l'mishisa Yaakov, who is the one that committed Israel to be looted. The Yisrael opposed him, and that Israel should be robbed. That was Alo Hashem, that God Zu Chatonulo, that we sinned before him. Below Ohu Bidrachov Halok, they didn't want to go in his way. Below Shomu Bitoranto, and they didn't listen to his Torah. So you know what God did? He poured out his wrath against the Jewish people. That was the 2,000 years of exile. Vayishpachalov Khema Apo, Ve'ezuz Milchama, Batalahate Yom Yisavid, Velo Yada, Batiz Arvo, Velo Yasin Alev. So he poured his fury, wrath upon it, and the power of war, and he set it on fire all around, but he would not know. It burned within him, but he did not take it to heart. We didn't learn. The Apo. What's fascinating! From one pasuk to the next, the pasuk just talked about the punishment that God permitted to happen to us. The next pasuk. And here, I believe, is the real meaning of the Haftarah. The Haftarah doesn't have to tell me that God created and had heaven and earth, which is said in the first pasuk. V'atamal ko'a ma'ashem bodacha Yaakov, the one who created Yaakov. The Yotzer Chayitzchol, the one formed Israel. There's another Biriya in this world. There is another creation. And the creation that the Navi is talking about is the creation of the Jewish people. That's what he created. And you know what he says? We just talked about the punishment. And the next passage says that the one who created you and the one who formed you, Altia, don't be afraid, because I have redeemed you. Karasi v'simcha, I called out your name, Li Ato, you are mine. I listen to these tzuchim, they are so beautiful. Ki tabor b'mayim yitcho'ani, you pass through water, I'm with you. Uban harot, and the rivers lo yishtifucho, will not sweep you away. Ki teleg b'mo'ei shlo tikove, if you go through fire, you will not be singed. V'lachavo lo yivarvach, and flames will not burn against you. The Jewish people are indestructible. You're going to survive history. You're going to make your way through to the end. While all the other nations may have disappeared from the face of the earth, you're going to make it to the finish line. Ki ani Hashem Elokecha, because I am God of God. Kedosh Yisrael, the Holy One of Israel. Moshiacha, I am your salvation. The purpose of the Haftarah, week by week, is to show us the prophetic dimension of Torah. There's Torah Shebichtav, and there are the Nevi'im. Torah, the parasha is talking about creation of the heaven and earth in the here and now, and the Navi is talking about a new creation that's going to take place. Yeshayahu, at the very end of the Sefer, and I believe that's what he's referring to. In history, there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth at the very end. Of Yeshayahu, he says, Ki kasha, meaning you don't have this, כי כאשר השמיים החדושים והארץ החדושה אשר אני עושה, there's a new heaven and a new earth that I'm making. לפני before me, says God. כן יעמוד זרעכם לשמכם. You're going to last through from one creation to that final great creation of a new heaven and a new earth. That's the purpose of the Haftarah. To tell us the end game. Natati kofr chomitzchayim kushu svoh tachtecha. Other nations are going to suffer. Not you. Others will suffer in your place. Take a look at this. It's gorgeous. Because you are so precious in my eyes. That's why you are honored. You will be honored in the world. I love you. God says I love you. You think that the Rebbeim is going to let us fall into the hands of that Rosh and the Rusha? That's not the case. He brought us through fire and water, across rivers and oceans. 6 million Jews he brought to Eretz Yisrael, so God forbid they should suffer at the hands of the Russia. I love you! What did the Navi say at the beginning of our Torah? I hold you by the hand, I'm walking with you hand in hand, we're walking through history. I'm going to make sure that you're going to make it to the other end of history. There are two creations. There's a Bodei Shemayim V'Oretz, and there's a Bodei Yisrael and a Yotzer Yaakov. I created a people. By the way, you know what it's all summed up in a few words in Rashi. Rashi says, V'Reishis V'Ara L'Kimet HaShemayim V'Oretz. It's a big Rashi. Rashi says, this Pasuk Hazeh Oled Derashuni, this Pasuk, yeah, says, learn me. How do you explain it? What does Bereshis mean? Does Bereshis mean the order of creation? In the beginning, God created heaven and earth? But wait a minute. In the very next passage, it says that the Spirit of God hovers over the water, but it didn't even tell us that the water was created yet. So he says, Rashi says, it cannot be telling us the order of creation. Bereshis, in the beginning, the way you always say it in English, and it's not true. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. No. So Rashi gives one grammatic that is supposed to be read. Bereshis, b'riyat shamayim v'aretz, in the beginning of God's creation of heaven and earth, there was water, and God hovered over the water. But before that, the Rashi says, Bereshis is not talking about the order of creation. You know what Bereshis is saying? Bereshis, because of those who are called Bereshis. Who are the two that are called Bereshis? Torah is called Bereshis. Hashem Kanani Bereshis Sarko. It is a pasuk in Mishlei. And at the beginning of Yirmiyahu read, Yirmiyahu says about the Jewish people that they are Reishit Tevuato, the first of God's great achievements in the world. So Rashi says the word Bereishis doesn't mean the order of creation, but because of Torah and the Jewish people, that's why he created the world. That's what this whole of Torah is explaining? That Rashi. God loves the Jewish people. For them he created the world. For them he's going to create a new era in history. And we're in the middle of it all. So it's unbelievable. And he's so excited. And for Torah, Hashem chafetz l'man tzidko yagdil Torah v'yagdil. Torah and Klal Yisrael. I, of course, created a third Bereshis. What does the Pasuk say? Eretz Yisrael is Eretz, Hashem Enei, Hashem Elokecho Bo, Mereshis Shona, Va'ad Acharit Shona. Understood in this whole Haftorah, Eretz Yisrael, it doesn't have to be mentioned. Where's he taking them to? Where's he bringing them? Where are they going? And they go, let's go further. I love them. They're saying, Adam Tachtechol, who in Tachat Hashemot. I'm going to make sure that you are going to rule over nations. You're going to rule over people. Al-Tira, again, listen to this person. Al-Tira, don't be afraid. Ki Yitcho'oni, I am with you. Mi Mizraha V'Yisra'echo, from the east I will bring your seed. Umimahadara Kapzega, and from the west I will gather you together. Beautiful mountain over here. And it's really an answer to a question my wife has. Alright? What's the difference between Mizrah Yisra'echo and Marav Kapzega? I will bring from the east, I will bring the seed, and from Marav I will gather you in. They're not gathered in from the east. So the mom says very beautifully, who went into exile to the east? The ones who went into the exile to the east were the 10 tribes. And the 10 tribes went as a group. There's some place out there, we don't know where they are. We don't know what happened to them. We'll find out, but Mashiach when he comes, we'll find out. But they're all together. They're not dispersed. But the Jews that went to the west, God spread them all over the world. So they, those who are in the west, I'm going to have to gather you in from all of the countries out of the west. But wait a minute, we still have another two directions to go. Omer Atzofon Teni, God says to the north, give me my children, Ule Teman. And to the south, God says, Al Tichloi, don't hold them locked up. Or Vii Bonai Meirachov, bring my sons from a distance. From afar, Ubinotan, you say, oh, that's my daughter from the very ends of the earth. I tell you, this Yishayahu, he does something to me. But more than anything else, and what he does to me, we're the living evidence of what Yishayahu is for. We're it. You don't have to look over your shoulder. We're it. We are the fulfillment. It blows my mind. We are the fulfillment. Now, so many other people out there that could be part of it, I don't know where they're not coming. I don't know what they're waiting for. So there's a creation of heaven and earth, and there's a creation of a new heaven and a new earth. In historic terms, that's what Yeshayahu talks about. And the fundamental sign of that great new world is not in quotation marks some kind of ingathering of the exiles. This is it. This is the ingathering of the exiles. Koranika Vishri, anybody who's called by my name, Ulukh Fodi, and for my honor, Virasin Yitzarkin Afal Season. Here is another description where God talks about his having created and formed and made all those who are called by his name. That's us. Again in creation. Again in forming. Again making. Hotzi Am Iver, God will take out a blind people. They name if they have eyes they can see. But they need help to make it to the end line of history. The Chershim, those who are deaf, while Zayim Lomo, and they have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together. Here comes the great challenge. Let all the nations be gathered together. Who is there that can say this kind of a prophecy and be certain that it's going to be fulfilled? You tell us anything that they said prophetically and then it happened. Nobody has a record like that. Nobody was able to tell what was going to happen. The Rebbeinu and the D.A. Yisrael had foretold victory and suffering time and time again. Yitnu Eidehem V'Yitztaku, let them bring proof to their contention that they were able to see the future. And then they'll be right. V'Yishmu V'Yomu Emes, let's hear whether they say truth. But you? Atem Eidehem V'Hashem, God said, you are my witnesses, every one of you sitting here is a witness. No one believe me. The Taminu means more than belief. Taminu means to trust. To really trust. v'tovinu and understand ki ani hu, I am he, l'fonai lo notzat el v'acharai lo yiyeh, there was no God before me and none after me. The Navi is saying, open up your eyes and take a look at what's happening. By the way, if I would have been teaching this Haftorah 65 years ago, I would have had to learn it in a completely different way. I most probably would have to learn it with tears coming down my cheeks saying, how the guy, the baby's little. Yeah, take them through fire, because we know what happened to them in the fire. Yeah, take them across, bring them to Arizona. We would have to learn this Haftorah in a completely different way. We have to open our ears and our eyes in order to know how to read this Haftorah today and see that we are Pesukim. We're it. This is living proof. That's why it says, Atem Edai. You are my witnesses. I cannot. I'm sorry, I'm going to have to close with, nations keep coming, nations keep going, passing like shadows, wiped off the earth. Thou, an eternal witness, remainest, bearing a message, God is but one. Aten Edai Ne'um Hashem. You are my witnesses, says God. You are my witnesses. Egypt and slavery, Babylon crushed me, rolled me, cast me, humbled my head. You want to see the whole poem? Go to the 1000th issue of Torah Tippets. There may even still be some in the hall out there, you understand? Be there for another 1000 issues. Thou an eternal witness, remainest, bearing the message, God of God. The Haftorah is telling us that the world was created for the Jewish people and for Torah, and that the Rebbeinu who created us as people loves us. He holds our hand. He's going to take us through history. And then the moment is going to come when he says, I've remained silent too long. And he's going to rise with a great roar against the enemies of Israel, and that we should be there watching it all happen. And then you all say, that's what Yeshayahu was talking about. Okay, that's it.
Thank you. Thank you.